Welcome, everyone, and thanks for being with me this next hour. You are listening to A Course in Miracles with CA on 1-2 Radio, which, of course, is where we are attempting to really be with you and change your experience of life and spirituality and just how you perceive things and think about things. And like I said, we're all in this together, but we have these joint perceptions, which is, of course, one of the things that we really explore on this particular show. And if you're listening live today, it is April 5th, 2019. And my guest today is Susan Dugan, A Course in Miracles teacher and the author of multiple articles and books based on forgiveness, which of course is a big thing in A Course in Miracles. And she is one person that I can honestly say, you know, in my life is quite the mentor and a student of A Course and just really unyielding in terms of really pursuing that path. And I know the Course in Miracles is not for everybody, but I really feel like it is my path. So it's always nice to meet somebody else who is on that path and who just won't let me get away with anything. Let's put it that way. So Susan is joining me today, and we are going to look at the workbook and specifically lesson 93. And that is Light and Joy and Peace Abide in Me. And if you would like to join us in the chat room, you can do that today as well. You can ask a question or make a comment. And the way you get there is you go to 12radio.com. And on the left side of the page, you will see the word chat. If you press that link, it'll take you directly to Facebook, where Christy Brower, who is our producer today, will invite you into the room where you can join other people in. And thanks so much for starting to come in. Hey, Robin, it's really good to see you today. Thank you very much for being here. And to everybody else coming into the room, thank you. So most of you do know Susan. Sometimes I feel like, you know, I'm always saying the same things, but she is an extraordinary person who's literally written a book, Extraordinary Ordinary Forgiveness. She's also written Forgiveness Offers Everything I Want, Forgiveness, the Key to Happiness. So, I mean, that's her big thing. Forgiveness and really living A Course in Miracles. She's also the co-founder for the School for A Course in Miracles, and she facilitates ACIM study groups in Denver, Colorado, and she actually speaks in other parts of the country as well. So welcome, Susan, and thanks for being with me today.
Thanks for having me. It's always a pleasure, CA.
Oh, thanks. Well, it really is. This is, as I tell other people, this, I think I do this show for me. You know, it's like my weekly, like, no matter what's been going on that week. I mean, I usually spend almost every morning with Ken Wapnick because I listen to his stuff and, you know, as I'm drinking my coffee and just kind of processing that. But still, you know, this show just kind of keeps me on target, always looking for something to share or, you know, having a discussion that I know will inspire me. So thank you. Thank you for being one of those people who really does inspire and mentor me on this path.
Well, thank you. It's you know, I think that's very true that I know I teach really for myself.
Yeah.
In many ways. I mean, that's why I started teaching. That's why I started writing about it, was really more as a way of processing and keeping, you know, it forces me to try to live this, you know, if you're going to be talking about it, as honestly as you can, you know, to walk the talk as much as you can. That doesn't mean that I don't have a terrible struggle with it at times.
Right.
But that's really what we talk about here. And you know, what I write about is really, you know, it's our resistance. This would be easy if we believed we were, like the title of this lesson, we believed that light and joy and peace abide in me, I would, you know, close the book. We wouldn't need this course, right? You know,
right.
If that was what we were really in touch with, we don't need a spiritual path of any kind because we're already there. But for those of us who really don't believe light and joy and peace abide in us, this is a way to have a different experience, to look at what we do believe and really to recognize and learn through practice that there's another point of view that will help us heal the beliefs that the self-condemnation and the condemnation that we feel all the time as we try to, you know, navigate a seeming world as a personal self that seems to have separate interests from others.
Mm-hmm. Well, and you know, it's interesting that you would suggest this lesson because I've told you over the last couple of months, I've been perseverating over listening to Ken and his lecture, his workshop, Living a Course in Miracles. And literally, I've listened to some sections of it maybe a dozen times because, you know, it's a repetition for sure. But every time it's like I just want to put it out of my mind. I don't want to think about it. And then I go back to that the next day and I go, have I ever heard this before?
Right.
And one of the lessons that he actually brought up in something I was listening to last week was lesson 93, mm-hmm. because he said, you know, he's talking about living A Course in Miracles, as I know you know because you've listened to this workshop. And, you know, so he's talking about, in a sense, many of the mistakes we make, like trying to be the perfect Course in Miracles student. And he goes, no, you know, don't be the perfect student. The perfect student is the one who finally comes to the point of forgiving themselves for not being perfect. But he also talked about this lesson because he said, you know, when people get to this lesson, which, by the way, if you're doing the workbook and you do one lesson a day and you started on the 1st of January, you would have done this lesson a couple of days ago, April 3rd. But this light and joy and peace abide in me, he said, you know, yeah, everybody wants to just look at the title and then they want to use that as a mantra through their day. Light and joy and peace abide in me, or some of the others, you know, the world is full of light. I see nothing but light around me. And he said, no, you know, that's not what this is about. This is about finally coming to this point after you realize you've been in darkness, or that is where you are, that this is what your truth is. And so I thought it was fun that you had actually suggested this lesson.
Right. And that's kind of what I wanted to talk about today, was really that whole idea. I mean, the beginning of the very opening line of this lesson is, you think you are the home of evil, darkness, and sin.
Yeah. So
this lesson is all about contrasting the point of view that I have when I've chosen, don't realize I'm choosing between two parts of my mind, two teachers within. But when I've chosen the ego as my teacher, when I've chosen to identify only with my personal self, then the need to make that choice is motivated by the belief that I am the home of evil, darkness, and sin. It's all a result of that belief that we separated from God, that we really sinned against God by trying to, declare our independence and create an alternate reality in which I have a separate self and a separate world of bodies, and leave heaven. And, you know, this whole story that we told ourselves. And so now I need the defense against that of being a body. And really, it's the guilt over that kind of keeps me clinging to this defense of a body and a world and not just a personal self, but a personal self that, you know, really does exist apart from God, but is, and apart from everyone, really. But it's not my fault. It's, you know, we're always trying to portray ourselves as relatively more, less guilty than those around us. There's no body here that doesn't have guilt within it, because we all are here. We all seem to be here. But, you know, the game is to try to portray myself as less guilty than the other bodies. And mm-hmm. that's the prize. I mean, we all die, but by the time we die, you know, we have to be within our frame of reference of the people that we interact with. We want to try to be one of the innocent ones, quote unquote. Mm-hmm. So the reason that I wanted to talk about this lesson was really an awareness of something that I saw a little bit differently in my own practice in the last few weeks. And that was, and it's kind of related to what Ken was saying about the title of the lesson and the way we try to use them as sort of affirmations to shut down the ego. And I was realizing that when I'm feeling a lot of fear and anxiety and whatever seems to, you know, my life seems to be running amok again and all these things are happening to me. And I find myself, I do always, you know, I challenge it in the sense that I do go to the course, and I've been at this long enough that I've integrated so much of so many lines of the course and so many reassurances from the course that something immediately, you know, comes to mind that challenges my belief of what's going on. But what I find is that I don't really allow myself to fully hear our teacher, Jesus, Holy Spirit, you know, to stay with that to let him really speak to me in a way from his point of view. So I kind of, you know, I'm on to the next problem before I've even really absorbed or accepted the truth of what the Course is saying and his perspective, which is that light and joy and peace abide in us, that nothing that we've made up, that we've dreamed up, has changed the reality, the all-loving reality, the safe and supported, innocent reality of what we are in truth. And the reason that I don't stay with that, of course, and we all don't stay with that awareness once, you know, even if we entertain it, is because we're afraid of it. And so I've been practicing trying to listen a little bit more, stay with it a little bit more when I'm in a state of anxiety or fear, anger, whatever however it seems to be presenting, and to really, you know, when I say bring it to Jesus, you know, and say help me look at this at whatever it is with you, to really kind of pause and allow his response, whatever it seems to be. And I mean, the response is always comes in some form of, not only are you wrong, but it's okay that you're wrong. You're just afraid. And, you know, you are so loved beyond belief, you know, well beyond your belief, and that you're so safe and you're so innocent. And I'm here to tell you that it's nothing. These dreams of yours mean nothing. All the meaning that you're giving to all these things that seem to be happening to you are nothing. And if you will if you will truly take my hand and truly look at them with me, you can have that experience right now, that of being of the light and joy and peace that we really are, and the safety that provides us. And so I actually, in my Tuesday night class, as a homework assignment this past week, asked people, we talked a little bit about this, and asked people to kind of work with that some and to see if we can just, you know, not to struggle and fight ourselves, but to see if you can stay a little beyond your comfort zone when you're in fear or anxiety or frustration or anger, and you're turning to Jesus for a different perspective, to actually stay with that perspective for a minute, you know, really kind of listen to it. Let him, you know, imagine him in any way that is meaningful to you as really, you know, giving you his point of view. And I thought this lesson was a beautiful, these first few paragraphs of this lesson really are him giving us, you know, asking us to, could you listen to me for a little bit? And so it was very helpful to me to then sort of, I've actually started doing the lessons just because they are now, I have on my phone, I can listen to the calendar lesson. So it was this week that I came across that when I kind of listened to it as I'm getting up in the morning. And, you know, it was sort of a response to what I was already trying to do. And so I thought it would be a good one for us to look at.
Mm-hmm. Well, and, you know, another idea that I think kind of tags in here that goes along with what you're talking about, just not really listening. And it's something I heard when I was listening to Ken this morning. And now this isn't a great revelation, but in some ways it is. I mean, it just makes me realize how dense I am. And that is, he was talking about our guilt. And you and I have had that conversation before. Sometimes I know, especially when I first started studying the Course, it was so hard for me to identify, well, I don't feel guilty, or, you know, I don't feel like I did anything to God. I don't have this animosity or like something happened. But he reiterated, guilt is not in your personality. Guilt is in the mind. And the mind, as per the Course, is not part of the brain. And we are so steeped, even if we're talking psychology, whatever. I mean, we believe we're bodies. And when we read things or when we talk about things and we talk about changing our mind even or whatever, most of the time we're really talking about the brain. We're talking about this concept of CA and her personality and her brain. And so when he said that, he said, the guilt is not in your body. It's not in your brain. It's not in your personality. The guilt is in your mind. And so once again, trying to wrap my head, whatever that means, around this idea of the mind is completely outside of the body. The mind is completely outside of this projected world that includes an ego that's split into billions and billions and billions of demonstrations and manifestations.
Right.
And, you know, kind of what you were talking about, I was just thinking about that, because that's it. If I can just get back into CA, I'm not there. I'm not listening to Jesus. I have to literally go, okay, get out of this. Come back to the mind. And what does that feel like? How do I do that? How do I connect with Jesus? Not as this is what CA needs today, but
right.
Just to be out of that and just somehow get a visual of guilt. And somehow when I heard him say that this morning, it really did feel like a small revelation. Uh-huh. Guilt is not in the personality. It's in the mind.
Right.
So anyway, I just thought I'd throw that out.
Yeah, no, very, very, very true. And but the symptoms of guilt are experienced in the personality. So the symptoms of guilt... you know, when you were saying that you had trouble when you first came to the course about connecting with the idea of guilt, but I didn't connect to the idea of, I had no trouble with connecting the feeling of guilt because, I don't know, I've felt guilty all my life, but I never really connected it with what I did to God. That's different. You know?
Yes, yes. Okay.
So the cause of it is not what I always thought the cause was in the body, in the world.
Yeah.
And actual things that, you know, was my fault, right? Mm-hmm. It's somebody's fault. It's either their fault or my fault.
Mm-hmm.
And those are the two choices. And so, in order for us to be able to experience ourselves as a mind, to kind of step, and really, I mean, another way of putting it is that the body is in the mind. The ideas leave not their source. That nothing, mm-hmm. not, you know, we are, this is all, the world and the body are just an idea that we had in the mind that never went anywhere, you know? And that's like, oh, we just kind of, you know, we just glaze over when we say that, but that's the truth. Nothing's going on. We didn't go anywhere, you know? So the way that we can connect with the mind that we are disowning all the time and denying all the time is we need to help from a part of our mind that owns it, that knows where we are, that knows that the only part of the mind that's real is the one innocent, all-loving, you know, undifferentiated union that we really are as part of God. And so you know, the way that we can't say, okay, I just want to connect with my mind. It's not Susan or CA doing that. We have to sort of say, I must be wrong about what I'm, you know, the course is an indirect path. I must be wrong about what my conclusion and about the cause of this, of what I'm experiencing, whatever the negative symptom is, because the course says it's all a result of guilt. So please help me see the truth instead, you know, because mm-hmm. I'm interpreting it through the lens of the body, through the lens of a personal self, which is, we call the ego, right? And, but I need to, you know, what would relieve my suffering? I could see peace instead of this if I see it with you. And so we need that. We need help from Jesus to make that shift. That shift is really not up to us. The request is up to us. The recognition that it's not working, that my interpretation is bringing me suffering, and it's not. I don't. You know, I must be wrong, because if I believe, I've studied the course, and I know what it says metaphysically, and where all of these negative feelings are coming from, then I must be wrong about the cause, the conclusion that I've made. So I want a different interpretation. And what I'm realizing in myself is I say that, I go through the motion, and then I, you know, I entertain the possibility that I could see peace instead of this. And I, in that way, I bring it to Jesus. But then I'm on to the next thing. What I'm trying to tease out a little bit within my own practice is to slow down a little and really allow that awareness that Jesus is there to share with us of our true innocence to sink in a little bit, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And we're, I mean, that's fearful because remember that we feel like that's a threat to us, that's going to make me disappear, you know? Well, where am I in that? We don't know. And in fact, it's not really a threat. It's actually the peace that we're looking for, the innocence that we don't no longer think we deserve, that everybody here is searching for. So I was wondering if we could read the first couple of paragraphs of this, maybe the first three, because I think they really speak to that.
Of course. Do you want to start? Or
sure.
Do you want me to?
You can. Why don't you start?
Okay. You think you are the home of evil, darkness, and sin. You think if anyone could see the truth about you, he would be repelled, recoiling from you as if from a poisonous snake. You think if what is true about you were revealed to you, you would be struck with horror so intense that you would rush to death by your own hand, living on after seeing this being impossible.
Yeah, wow, right?
Yeah, I know. This when I read these, I'm like, he should have been writing fiction, you know?
Yeah, well, and you know, and maybe when we first come to this and we're very new to the course, this sounds really, you know, like such over-the-top language, and I don't feel that way, you know? But really, the more, if we're practicing this process of watching our thoughts and watching our judgments and watching our self-condemnation and, you know, getting really paying attention to what we're thinking and feeling, this sounds right on to me. I mean, that is what we're thinking. And, you know, we don't want anybody to know the secrets, our secret thoughts, because so many of them are hateful. They're hateful toward ourselves and they're hateful toward others.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so he's just saying, you know, let's be honest. This is what you think. And it's always, Jesus is, as our teacher, is always trying to get us to look at what we're really, instead of denying it and saying, you know, just using as a mantra, light and joy and peace abide in me. Oh, thank God.
Yeah.
Well, but letting it sink in. No, that's not what I believe. And then what we have to look at him with, what we have to bring to him is what we really do believe, which is this darkness about ourselves that we feel so ashamed about, you know. So he goes on to say, these are beliefs so firmly fixed that it is difficult to help you see that they are based on nothing. And that's really what we need to see, you know. And I think this process that I was suggesting of kind of slowing down, show me. Because I think they're really something. I think they're, not only are they something, they're like big something, you know. Big
mm-hmm.
Right. So if we will stop and really, really open to a different interpretation that's true, we're going to learn that they are nothing, which really reflects all those early workbook lessons of, you know, we're giving everything we see all the meaning that it has for us. It's all about it, which teacher we're interpreting with. And that's a choice. So he says that you have made mistakes is obvious. That you have sought salvation in strange ways, have been deceived, deceiving and afraid of foolish fantasies and savage dreams, and have bowed down to idols made of dust. All this is true by what you now believe. I mean, notice how the complete non-judgment with which he's saying that.
Mm-hmm.
This is what you believe. Stop trying to hide it. You know? Let's just call it for what it is. No big deal. It's nothing. It's still, nonetheless, it's nothing. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Next one.
Sure. Today, we question this, not from the point of view of what you think, but from a very different reference point from which such idle thoughts are meaningless. These thoughts are not according to God's will. These weird beliefs he does not share with you. This is enough to prove that they are wrong, but you do not perceive that this is so.
So, you know, that's the practice of forgiveness right there, right?
Mm-hmm.
Today, we question this. Together, we will question this. And from the point of view of what you think, you know, which is I am the home of evil, darkness, and sin, not from that point of view, but from a very different reference point. And that would be mine, Jesus is saying, you know,
mm-hmm.
My reference point, from which such idle thoughts are, again, meaningless. They're not good. They're not bad. They just don't mean anything. They have had no effect whatsoever.
Yes. Well, and I think it's interesting, you know, bringing up this idea of God's will, because in some places he makes it really clear, your will is God's will. There is only one will.
Right.
You just have made up this alternative that you think is your will.
Right. Right. And we thought we had a different, we thought we had a different will from God, which was we wanted to be other than God. And we thought we accomplished that, mission accomplished, right? And now, and God knew about it, recognized it, and now he's really angry with us. And that's what all this is about. That's what all this punishment in my life is about.
Mm-hmm. Well, and just, these weird beliefs. He doesn't have these weird beliefs. Those all belong to you.
Yeah, and they were over long ago, the Course says. So if you'll look with me, I can really, look into my eyes in a way. I mean, Jesus is saying that, look at me. Can you stop for a moment, CA? Can you stop for a moment, Susan? I hear what you're saying about what's going on here, but you're wrong. And it has no meaning whatsoever. Not only is it not the catastrophe that you think it is, it's nothing. Mm-hmm. And I mean, that really is what strikes fear into the part of us that thinks we're a body, because, well, where am I in that, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we have to really be able to connect with a teacher that is also telling us that it's nothing, but the truth in you is something so much greater, and really everything you want. It's all loving. It's all innocent. It's safe and protected and held and cradled and endlessly creative and, everything you want. There is no God's will for you is perfect happiness and nothing. Your will, your the tiny mad idea, the passing whim of your wish to experience something else means nothing. It never happened. You're safe,
Mm-hmm. Well, and do you want to continue with the next paragraph? Because I think it really reiterates what you were saying.
Yep. Why would you not be overjoyed to be assured that all the evil that you think you did was never done? That all your sins are nothing? That you are as pure and holy as you were created? And that light and joy and peace abide in you? Your image of yourself cannot withstand the will of God. You think that this is death, but it is life. You think you are destroyed, but you are saved. So yes, that's really, this really is what you want. And until you know that this is really what you want, you need me to help you see it a little at a time, moment to moment, mistake by mistake, mistake in perception by mistake. And that's what the practice of this is as we go through our day, is to every time I'm scared, every time I'm, angry, frustrated, anxious, in pain physically or emotionally, judging the world, judging what's happening in the news, upset with a friend, upset with myself, upset with whatever, my past, my future. To come back to Jesus and say, the Course is telling me I must be wrong. Please help me to see this the way you see it, Share with me, share your perception with me. And this is going to be his answer every single time. The Course is consistent. There's no hierarchy of illusions. All of them are nothing. All of them mean nothing. All of them are a defense against the belief in a truth of crime that never against God that never occurred, because only innocence prevailed. Only that loving part of us prevailed. So, that is. I mean, it's very much in our interest to see that, to know that. And it kind of harkens back to the final section of the Obstacles to Peace, the lifting of the veil, where he says, together we disappear beyond the veil, not to be seen, but known, not to be lost, but found. And it's not as a body, but we really are part of that love and always will be. And we're all scared to death of disappearing, into the heart of God. We're not there yet. But we can, in each moment, have a different experience of deep relief and release when we're willing to just come to Him with our honest reactions, our honest dark thoughts, our honest fear, and just hear what He's saying, open to it. You know, just see if we can stay with it a little bit before we go running back into the world. Fear, you know, for another problem.
Yeah, and I'm going to read the next paragraph because once again, it's just, it's so wonderful. Yeah. The self you made is not the Son of God. And I mean, how powerful is that right there? You know, these egos, these illusions, these stories have nothing to do with the Son of God. The self you made is not the Son of God. Therefore, this self does not exist at all. And anything it seems to do and think means nothing. It is neither bad nor good. It is unreal and nothing more than that. It does not battle with the Son of God. It does not hurt Him nor attack His peace. It has not changed creation nor reduced eternal sinlessness to sin and love to hate. What power can this self you made possess when it would contradict the will of God? You know, it kind of goes back to some of those places that, you know, they talk about you're like children playing with toys, you know, toy soldiers or teddy bears or whatever it is. You're playing with toys and you somehow believe that now all of a sudden your toys have come to life and that they can change reality.
Right. Well, and not only do we believe it, but we forgot reality completely. But before we forgot it, we made it an enemy. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we are deeply invested in not remembering, you know. That's why the Course likens to our experience as a body to a dream, because it's a dream of running away from home. And we're afraid that awakening from the dream is going to be our annihilation, when in fact awakening from the dream is our release. Mm-hmm. It's our only hope, really, you know. So we're confused, and this does strike deep fear within us that we're very out of touch with, you know, that deep fear that of annihilation, that this is the only self that I have, that I remember, is this body that I made up. When he says made, I made up, I imagined. Mm-hmm. You know, because it isn't anything. But as long, so the Course isn't asking us to give up our belief in a personal self, but it is asking us to change the purpose of the seeming life that personal self conducts to a different teacher, to a different class, you know, to looking at our lives as a kind of classroom in which we can learn mistaken perception that we're wrong, and allow that to heal, that process of you know, catching our ego identification, our ego thoughts, our choice for the teacher of sin, guilt, and fear, and recognizing in the moment that I don't want this right now. It's hurting me, and I could, you know, I have another part of my mind that wants to help me here, and that's the, you know, that's the, I could see peace instead of this part of that two-step process. The first is, I'm wrong about the cause of this. I'm not upset because of what you're doing to me or what I see on the news or what the pain in my body or the threat to my finances or the threat to, you know, my way of life or whatever it is. But, you know, I must be wrong about that, because that there's nothing, the Course says there's really nothing happening out there. So that's not my experience, but there's a part of my mind that can help me let go of this. Because I can't do it by myself, because I believe it. So we take that belief to Jesus to look at, and we say, you know, help me to see this differently. Help me to see peace instead of this. And then we have to wait a little bit, you know, to allow us to experience the peace. And that's what I was suggesting, is that you know, I kind of just do it and hope for the best, and then I'm on to the next thing. It's a way, what I noticed in myself is it's a way of distancing myself from the love. You know, I'm really afraid of that relationship with Jesus. And so, like we all are, because, you know, we have it all mixed up in our mind as, you know, love is now the enemy. But the way that this mistake is ultimately healed is to little by little develop trust that the love really is there and I really do deserve it. I'm wrong about myself. And for that to happen, we have to allow ourselves at least for a few moments to experience Jesus's response and just be with it a little bit, you know?
Yeah. Which is tough.
Which is tough.
You know, because
you know, we want to go right on to the next thing and we want an instant shift. I want to feel it right now. I'll take it if you'll give it to me right now. But, you know, so, you know, we're too afraid to have it just instantly shift for us. but we can at least hear his response. We can at least recognize, you know, allow him to tell us whatever he's going to tell us, which is always some form of, you know, you are forgiven. Nothing happened. Nobody's guilty here. It's not in them. It's not in you. You're safe. You are loved. You are held. You know, you deserve to be where you deserve to be, one with God, because that's where you really are.
Yep. Well, and you know, the other thing I was sitting here thinking is, as we've said before, like before I said, I don't identify with guilt. And yet, you know, I think the truth is people, my friends would probably say, well, you don't identify with it because it's a state of being. You know, it's like you were raised in a Catholic school, for God's sake. You know what I mean? So it's like when that's, it's almost like asking a fish, how's the water or something? You sometimes you don't even recognize something because it's like it's so part of you.
Right.
It's not a foreign emotion. It's who you are. And, you know, just thinking about that, too, like, you know, like you said something like being afraid of love. There's a part of me automatically that goes, who could be afraid of love? Why would I be afraid of love? I'm not afraid of love. And yet I go right back to thinking what the Course says and Ken specifically saying, well, if you got this all figured out, why are you listening? If if you're so darn happy, if everything is so perfect for you, you wouldn't have come here. You could, you know, and once again, he says, people come to the Course who've tried everything else.
Right.
You know, you've tried everything else in your life. All these things that you think are going to fill the black hole, all these things that are going to make you happy, all these things that are somehow going to be the key to living your life. And they disappoint you every time.
Right.
And so, you know, I can sit here and go, oh, well, I'm not afraid of love, or I don't resist God, or I don't feel guilty. But it's like, okay, well, how is your plan working for you, CA? And that, I think, is what it always comes down, you know, to me.
Yeah.
How it comes is like, okay, well, if you get this all handled, if you've got this all figured out, why does it feel this way? So once again, I must be mistaken somewhere. I must be mistaken. There has got to be another way because my plan doesn't work or my resistance to it doesn't work. So maybe I should open up a little bit to what is guilt or why would I be afraid of love? What does that really mean? And you know, why am I so sure that that's not me?
Yes, I think opening up to that, to really being honest, to really looking at it. I mean, the process of forgiveness is looking on devastation with the part of our mind that knows it isn't true. So looking at what we're doing, the unloving is with Jesus, but with love beside us is what we're asked to do. And, you know, Jesus is always saying, yes, you are afraid of love because, you know, you have unloving thoughts all the time. And love never has unloving thoughts.
Right. Well, and there again, I think we confuse. I mean, we all have definitions of love.
Well,
you know, love means never having to say you're sorry, right? I mean,
right. There are personalities. Our definition as a body is special love, and special love is not loving at all.
No, not at all.
It's excluded. It's exclusive, and it's about trying to substitute for love that we think we destroyed, the real love that we think we destroyed. That's all it is. And it's not loving. It will always be dualistic, and it will always be about one or the other and bargaining to get our needs met. It's conditional. It's always conditional. And that's not love.
No.
And again, the secret agenda, even of the special love relationship that Jesus calls our, you know, the romantic, more romantic and long-term relationships like marriage that we enter into, even, or children and parents, even those relationships that we enter into, they're not loving either, because they're completely about, you know, again, getting conditional, getting our needs met. They're bargaining for love. And they, you know, we have, I mean, we know that, you know, people have to toe the line in relationships. We talk about, you know, coming, well, maybe I'll go 60% of the way, but I'm not going 75% of the way. You know, this should be mostly over time, a 50-50 venture, right?
Right. And I'm not a fool. You're not going to make a fool out of me.
And think about the parent-child relationship and, you know, the conditions that we put on that. On any side of it that we're on, at any point in the human journey, you know, it's not all loving.
No, it is not. And you know, I one thing I would like to read one more paragraph, and then we probably are getting pretty close to the point where I want to make sure you have some time to do some announcements. But let's read this. And actually, I'm going to skip one paragraph and go to this one. Salvation requires the acceptance of but one thought. You are as God created you, not what you made of yourself. Whatever evil you may think you did, you are as God created you. Whatever mistakes you made, the truth about you is unchanged. Creation is eternal and unalterable. Your sinlessness is guaranteed by God. You are and will forever be exactly as you were created. Light and joy and peace abide in you because God put them there. And by the way, we are on lesson 93 in the Course in Miracles workbook. And I'm saying that because somebody in the chat room had asked, and I did post it, but just in case, if there are people listening and going, what are they doing? Where are they reading from? It is from lesson 93. Yeah. So what did you say, Susan?
It's paragraph 7.
Okay, paragraph 7 from lesson 93. So, yeah, so do you have any comments about that?
Yeah, just, and again, it's that salvation requires the acceptance, you know, and so, but one thought, you are as God created you, not what you made of yourself. Well, we can't accept that by ourselves. That is not our experience.
No. You know?
And that's why we need a teacher. That's why we need a conscious to consciously ask for a different point of view, because we always start with an identification of ourselves as bodies. That's our default. And as you were saying, that is so laden with the guilt over, with the unconscious guilt over believing that we separated from God and deserve punishment, and are buying for, you know, some kind of survival in this one or the other world, and some kind of way to portray ourselves as less innocent than someone else, less guilty than someone else. So we need help. We can't accept, that's not, in order to accept it, we have to see what we're doing and see that there has to be a better way, that there's something wrong with what I'm doing here and it doesn't feel good. And then take it to the part of our mind that knows what's wrong and knows what the answer is and can share the experience of that loving answer with us.
Yes. Well, and Susan, I know that you had another commitment at the top of the hour and wanted to leave just a little early today. So do you want to make any announcements before you leave?
Yeah, you know, just one. I have a, it's not posted yet, but it will be in the next week or two probably. An interview that I did with Jeffrey Siebert is a long-term teacher with the Foundation for A Course in Miracles that's now in Henderson, Nevada. And I did a lengthy interview with him about the practice of A Course in Miracles. And again, I've done quite a few interviews on my website with the staff there and also, of course, with Ken Wapnick. And so that will be being posted on my website, forisandforgiveness.com, within the next couple of weeks. And it's a wonderful interview of Jeff sharing a lot of his own practice. So.
Okay, and I'm posting your forisandforgiveness.com into the chat room right now.
Great.
So that people will be able to find that. Hopefully, it looks like it went in. And so that is forisandforgiveness.com, FORAYSIN, forgiveness.com. That's where you can find Susan and you can find those interviews that she's done and a lot of other material too. So, Susan, thank you so much for joining me today.
It's always a pleasure. Thanks a lot, CA.
Okay, I really appreciate that you were able to take the time, and good luck with the rest of your day and with the rest of your week.
You too. Take care.
Okay, I'll talk to you soon. Okay, and for those of you who are still here listening, I want to wrap this up with just a couple of more things out of this particular lesson. This is A Course in Miracles, the workbook for students, and it is lesson 93. And I thought that paragraph was so important that was just saying, you know, we are how God created us, you know, that is exactly who we are, and that it's guaranteed by God, basically. And so I wanted to read just a couple of other things like this one. It says, put away your foolish self-images and spend the rest of the practice period in trying to experience what God has given you in place of what you have decreed for yourself. So once again, just we know that this is difficult. We believe that we are bodies, but we have created these self-images. And, you know, could we just stop for even a minute or two and imagine that that's what we're doing? We're, you know, that's it. We're playing with our Barbie dolls. We're playing with our toy soldiers. We've got all this stuff going on. And we think that that's our real self. And it's just not. So as you continue to look at this lesson, you know, it just says, you know, can you be willing to try this? Can you try to be willing to do this today and to think about you are light and joy and peace? That's who you are. And toward the end of it, it also says, if a situation arises that seems to be disturbing, quickly dispel the illusion of fear by repeating these thoughts again. Should you be tempted to become angry with someone, tell him silently, light and joy and peace abide in you. And so, you know, there is just so much we can do by doing the workbook lessons, by just trying to stop for a minute and say, what if I'm wrong? What if this is different than I'm really perceiving it to be? So thank you so much for allowing me to do that and for joining me today. Thanks for making A Course in Miracles part of your day. You have been listening to this with C.A. Brooks and with my guest, Susan Dugan. We have been talking about workbook lesson 93. If you want to go back, or, you know, you're listening to this as an encore, and or maybe you downloaded it from our on-demand section, which, of course, remember, you can always get about 6 months' worth of the live shows by going there to the on-demand section of 1-2 Radio. And so if you're listening, that's what we've been talking about today. So I want to tell everybody, thank you so much for being here today. Thanks for coming into the chat room and joining us. And I see a number of people have come in throughout the course of listening today. So thank you so much for doing that. And I hope you're going to have a great day. You know, today is Friday the 5th. Of April, and we have a new moon in Aries today. The astrologer in me is talking now. So we have a new moon in Aries, which I think is always an exciting thing, because that new moon says, let's get going, let's take off. However, I do want to caution you that there's a number of other planets. Now, I'm talking about illusion here, guys, but in this illusion, then we have Saturn, who is the timekeeper, and he's really tempering what Aries new moon is doing. So if you feel like you got some great ideas, but somebody is still just going, hold your horses, or you got to lay some foundations first, that's really Saturn and Pluto sitting over in Capricorn telling us that that's the state of affairs. So you will find me later today over on 1-2Listen if you want to check in, and on Sunday as well. So that would be nice to connect with you. And we can talk about A Course in Miracles. We can talk about astrology. We can talk about the illusion. We can talk about whatever is on your hearts and in your minds. So I want to thank you for coming today, and also to thank Christy Brower for being our producer, and remind you that you can always find me for consultations on One to Listen throughout the week. You can also find me on Tuesdays for my show Simple Tales, where we do discuss that illusion of astrology and a lot of other things, how we live our lives in the dream world. And I've said this a number of times, but you know, when I first started studying the course, I literally gave away all my astrology books. I stopped practicing astrology and tarot and all of those things because I was like, you know, what does it matter? It's an illusion. But I finally realized, just like I keep watching movies, I still play games, I still play Monopoly or Scrabble or whatever. Those are fun things to do. Now, just because they're games, just because they're part of the illusion, doesn't mean we don't do them. And even as students of A Course in Miracles, as Ken Wapnick says all the time, is we need to be normal. You know, this is about using our everyday lives as our curriculum for getting back to our minds, for getting back to that place where we know that peace and love and joy do abide in us. So, you know, that's what we do. And so I'll join you on Tuesdays and we'll talk about astrology. That's where we'll be. So until next week, relax and wear loose clothes. You have been listening to A Course in Miracles with C.A. Brooks and my guest Susan Dugan on 1-2 Radio, where we are changing the way we think about life and about spirituality.